Hi, this is Jim Armstrong, and today we are doing Module 2 of the Rapid Launch 2008, the Connect campaign. And what we're going to be doing today is, you know, anybody that's been a member of the Inner Circle Club for any length of time has seen exactly how the Connect campaign is laid out. In the original Rapid Launch program, all the instructions are there. And so during the main part of this program, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about the reasons why you should do a Connect campaign. I think everybody knows why that's important, to reconnect with your past clients, especially if you have not been communicating with them, which the vast majority of floor dealers don't, which is why you as Inner Circle members have such a huge advantage, one of many reasons. And so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on why you should do a Connect campaign. What we're going to be doing today is really talking about some technical aspects of the Connect campaign, which has to do with the way that these pieces are mailed out. And everybody on the call should be familiar with the concept of the stealth mailer. And we're going to be getting into that and other ways that stealth mailers can be used. To do that today, who I have on the line with me, very pleased to have, Eric Garcia of Think Inc. Marketing. Eric is the Vice President of New Business Development with Think Inc., and his main responsibilities with Think Inc. is organizing and managing coaching groups and marketing groups and mentor groups for Think Inc. He started with Think Inc. in 2005 with vast experience in unique styles of marketing. Previously, for example, he worked with a golf travel company doing domestic and international corporate outings surrounding PGA events. Previous to the golf travel, he was coordinating regional and cross-country guerrilla marketing tours for Sony, Perrier, Heineken, and so forth. Eric, welcome to the call, and thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. It's great to be a part of your organization, and great to have an opportunity to interact with your coaching members.
Absolutely. And let's just go ahead and get started and give the listeners some background information. How long has Think Inc. Marketing been in business?
Think Inc. Marketing has been in business for over 18 years now. We have grown the business since 1990 to the point now where we work with a lot of larger mailers, both domestically and internationally. Think Inc. Provides innovative and hand-personalized mailing solutions to help businesses capture the attention of their audience, ensuring that their mail gets open and gets read.
Okay. And how did Think Inc. get into the odd mailer industry?
We realized that the vast majority of the mail houses that offer their services to individuals who want to utilize direct response marketing mainly had a menu of services that revolved around conventional, atypical types of efforts, being postcard mail pieces that have more of a computer mechanized look. And what we realized is there was a need and a desire to have more innovative approaches that are on more of the unconventional, unique end, such as a sneak-up type of approach.
Okay. And, you know, it's true that the average consumer is bombarded with 10,000 advertising messages per day on average. I mean, I'm sitting here at my desk. I've got a Big Gulp cup from 7-Eleven. I've got on my email page, I've got umpteen number of little pop-ups showing different advertisements. Driving through town, your billboards, radio, television, we're inundated with it. And being able to cut through the clutter is so critical. And that's part of what I'm hearing you say, Eric, is that part of the odd mailer type of approach allows you to cut through all that clutter.
Very, very true. You know, one of the best uses for the hand-addressed, highly personalized appearance and look is the ability and the advantage in beating the sort. at the trash can or recycling bin.
Okay.
You know, our mail piece will stand out. If it stands out, it ends up in the important pile, and it far increases the likelihood of getting open and getting read.
Okay. And what kinds of industries has or companies has ThinkInc worked with?
A wide range, Jim, from automotive to skincare, health and beauty, mortgage finance. There's really no specific type of industry that we have focused on. What we found is these types of services, unique, highly personalized services, can in fact be utilized by a wide range of marketers targeting a large grouping of audiences.
Okay, great. And what? How did the strategy of personal hand-addressed envelopes come about? And explain that a little bit for anybody that they should be familiar with it. We've got some new members to the Inner Circle Club, so explain not only how the strategy came about, but tell us what it is.
Definitely. We all receive mail, and we all know that there is a vast majority of the mail that we receive, you know, the largest percentage is solicitations that are sent to us by marketers who are just targeting people off of a list.
Okay.
What we found is, and actually I'm sure many of the listeners on this call can vouch for it, is that these types of mail pieces immediately have a label of a solicitation, junk mail, and the likelihood of them getting open and getting read is far less than using a sneak-up type approach. A sneak-up mail piece, just to plainly try to describe how it would look, would be a white envelope. We use just our standard size, number 10, which is like a business-size envelope. We do real, genuine handwriting, real blue ink on envelopes, and we apply a live first-class stamp.
Okay.
We also leave the option up to the sender, the customer in this case, whether or not they like to include a return address. Without including a return address would increase the curiosity and almost guarantee that the recipient will, in fact, look inside the envelope.
Okay. And that's what we're encouraging. I am, and I know you are, is to leave that return address off, especially for the initial connects with past clients.
Most definitely. The only instances where return address would be an advantage, in my opinion, is if there's a need or a desire to update a mailing list, because in fact any of the mail pieces that are sent to an address is no longer active for individual who's within your target audience, those would get sent back, and you could update your list for future mailings to save cost. But
sure,
if you are targeting and sending mail to a grouping of people, a list of people that you feel are within a close time frame from the last time you've connected with them, then in all likelihood the mailing address would be accurate and the mail would be delivered, and it just would increase that curiosity.
Yeah. So if you're doing a target farm to people who aren't previous clients, you buy an updated list, it's going to be pretty accurate, and there's really no reason to clean that list. And what I'm encouraging everybody to do on the Connect campaign, even if you're going back to previous clients who have not heard from you in years, don't put the return address on the Connect campaign. You're gonna not have that benefit of cleaning up your list during the Connect campaign, but I believe it's far outweighed by the benefits of having more of those letters get open, a higher success open rate. Leave the list clean up until you begin to send them the monthly Home Advisor newsletter when they're used to hearing from you. Then go ahead and put a return address on there and clean the list up then. Absolutely recommend doing that. What, Eric, in your opinion, is so powerful about the personalized envelopes with the handwritten addresses?
With the return address.
What I meant is with the handwritten addresses and without the return address.
Actually, Jim, this was a good segue for me to kind of just mention one thing regarding the a newsletter or a a home advisor type of mail piece.
Oh, okay.
If in fact there is an established relationship between you and the client, then by having your picture actually on the envelope or just a return address with your business name would be an advantage in the sense that they already know you. There's already established connection or relationship. So there's really no need to have to be stealthy about it, and obviously hence the name Stealth Mailer with no return address. There's already an established connection. If when excluding the return address on a handwritten envelope with the live stamp, not only are you increasing the chance of getting that mail piece opened, and once it's open, then obviously you've overcome the major obstacle in direct mail. Now, it's just a matter of the recipient reading your message and determining if they're interested or not. Not only will you enable yourself to get to that stage, but also being handwritten with a personal touch, that recipient, that client, feels as if you've taken the time to hand-select them and reach out to them and continue communication with them directly versus, you know, inputting their email address into some type of computer format and spitting out computerized inkjet or some type of synthetic handwritten font onto an envelope, which is easier to do, but it's far less personalized. So if the recipient feels as if you've taken the time and care in communicating with them, then their minds might be opened up for what you have to offer even more so.
Yeah, they don't know that you've had a company handwrite it. Most people have no idea that that kind of a service even exists. You know, I don't think even one of our Inner Circle members even knew you could. There was a company like ThinkInc that would do this for you until they became Inner Circle member. And so, as far as your clients are concerned, you sat down and hand wrote that address. So, very good point. How do the handwritten addresses compare with the fake handwriting fonts that you mentioned?
Yeah, Jim, nothing compares to the real thing. I consider myself to be mail savvy, and I'm sure many of your listeners out there also do the sort at the mailbox, and they could determine what's a some type of handwritten font versus what's genuine, real handwriting. You know, there are true indicators to determine, you know, what's real, what's fake. It all boils down to nothing compares to the real thing. And in fact, we have a large number of handwriters that work with us on a continual basis that have good legible penmanship. And what they're able to do is ensure that the address block, the recipient address, name and address, is written legibly, so in fact the mail can be delivered. But it also has a real appearance, because in fact it's done with real pen in hand on paper.
You know, there's a funny story, and I'm going to display my ignorance of a few years ago. But I got my first piece, the first time I did any kind of work with ThinkInc, I didn't know that you guys, this is going back several years, I didn't know that you guys actually hand wrote the address. I knew you did the odd mailers and that sort of thing. So we get the box into the office, and I pull this thing out, and I'm expecting handwritten font, like from a computer. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm talking to my partner at the time, and I said, man, this is the most realistic looking laser jetted font that I've ever seen. Look, there's even little imperfections between the letters. This is amazing. I was so used to working with the having the addresses printed on there, and finally I went, wait a minute, there's indentations from the pen. And I think we finally called you guys and got and said, did you guys actually handwrite this darn thing? And sure enough, you had. And so it really speaks to the point you just made, Eric, that people are savvy. They look at that envelope, and you know, from even the pressure of the pen, you can see in how the little, like somebody makes an A and the little curly Q from the that up that vertical line from the A, how the ink sort of fades out rather than just cuts off directly. All those little things, people, you don't think about it consciously normally like I did in analyzing when I got that first thinking piece, but people, their brains absorb that information and they intuitively can tell if this is fake versus something that was lasered on there. What are some stats on the open rate for regular junk mail versus the stealth mailers?
Through testing, Jim, we've determined, actually in terms of open read rate, through testing in comparison to other types of traditional conventional approaches, traditional conventional being your laser type of font or something like an address label, anything along those lines. In comparison to the real thing, real genuine handwriting, what we found is between 87 to 99.2% of the mail that's hand-addressed with real handwriting does in fact get open and does in fact get read. So in essence, you know, it almost guarantees that your message will get in the hands of your potential customer or your client in this case, and which again is the major obstacle in direct mail. And then it's just a matter of whether or not they're in market for what you have to offer.
Yeah, and what you're talking about, Eric, is making sure that you're in the game. Because if we've all done this. You've done it, Eric. I've done it. Everyone on the call has done it. You pull a big stack of mail out of the mailbox. You're in a hurry. You stand next to the trash can going, junk mail, junk mail, junk mail, junk mail, up, letter from Aunt Sally, junk mail, up, PG&E bill, whatever. And if you are getting junk mailed out, that not making that cut, you're not even in the game. They're not even going to get to your marketing message. So we're going to talk about that a little later about, you know, the whole idea of getting them to read the marketing message, but just getting that opened is so huge that's why we're, you know, taking the time and the energy to talk about this. And I can also guarantee you that none of your competitors are doing this. Everybody who does direct mail, like Eric said earlier, typically goes through a typical mail house, has a very junk mail. And they'll call it professional look, but it really is a junk mail look. So now, ThinkInk does the hand addressing, but you also do other kinds of odd mailers. Tell us about some of the most effective odd mailer campaigns you've worked with, Eric.
In terms of other unique hand personalized services we offer, we can do a personal touch not only on the envelope, but we can also add a handwriting to the printed piece inside, whether it be by way of a real signature. We can use a model of anyone's signature and duplicate it to the best of our abilities without making it too perfect. So the letter looks like it was actually hand-signed by you, the marketer, to the recipient. We can add multiple stamps to an envelope if you want to give it even a more so of a real appearance.
Talk about the multiple stamp idea, because I've done that a lot.
Okay. In our letter shop is where we do all the personalization and processing. We complete the hand addressing service. And then one of the last steps in the process is sealing and stamping each envelope. And what we atypically do is we apply a live first-class stamp, the flag-style stamp, which comes on reels. That is machine-applied. It's actually the only machine step in the process. Machine-applied, of course, the upper right-hand corner. And, again, that gives it highly personalized look with the live postage and the hand addressing. But what we can do above and beyond that is we can actually hand apply postage stamps. If you wanted to use a unique type of stamp, whether it be a comic style or some type of commemorative stamp, if you wanted to use multiple stamps, the specialty stamps or unique stamps and the multiple stamps, whether it be in denominations of, say, 41 and 1 cent, those all come on sheets. So we would actually hand peel and then hand apply to each envelope. And the rationale behind that, and of course this has all been tested, and through testing we've proven that this even more so will increase the open rate and read rate, which has a direct correspondence or direct impact on the response rate. But what we found is by using multiple stamps, it even more so can increase that open and read rate and corresponding response rate.
Yeah, and you use stamps that don't match different denominations. Like a while back I did a direct mail piece with you folks, Eric, and it was right as the price went up from the 41 to 42. So you put the 41 cent stamps on with the 1 cent, you know, to make up the difference. So it looked like they were getting a personalized letter from somebody who had all these extra 41 cent stamps and went and bought a sheet of 1 cent stamps, like everybody was doing to burn up their old stamps. So, and I mean, I've done other things like that. So that also just again increases the stealthiness or the sneak up approach.
We can also add one of the unusual but effective types of requests that we receive on occasion is to do lumpy mail. Lumpy mail is where we add some type of solid object into the envelope to give a lumpy feel, whether this be a rubber band, a paper clip, and you know, we were talking about this earlier, Jim. One of the weirdest mailers we've ever done was there was a preference a while back, and timing definitely became an issue, but the desire was to include aspirin, a one aspirin tablet inside each envelope, and it went along with the message. The message being, take the headache out of your, I believe it was for a home improvement type of company, and take the headache out of home improvements. And it was effective in the sense that it definitely, you know, it was far different than any other mail piece in the mailbox. But the difficulty in this case was the timing was around the same period where the anthrax situation occurred. So it became a major issue for us. And of course the preferred angle that they were using was done away with for obvious reasons. But it was definitely unique and weird. Definitely weird was the right weird word to use for description of that mailing.
I remember doing stealth mailers right after the anthrax scare a few years back, and we had to be more careful with. There was actually a time where I put return addresses on everything, just because I wanted people to know it came from a real live person that wasn't, you know. I mean, how many anthrax letters got sent? 6, 10, something like that. But which is the odds of you getting one were so infinitesimally low. But still, there was that fear out there, you know, in the press and everything. So that's long gone, and back to doing the no return address, and it's worked great. The lumpy mailers, actually, it's funny you mentioned that, Eric, with the aspirin. We have we do a campaign called the Shock and Awe, all the Inner Circle members have, and one of the mailers is called the headache letter, where they actually it's not just a aspirin, but they send actually a bottle of aspirin in the mailer. And the Shock and Awe campaign is nothing but lumpy, bumpy mailers. So I'm glad you brought that up, because having something, I mean, put yourself in your recipient's shoes. They've got a big stack of mail, and they're going sorting through it, and they get something that's lumpy. It's got something in there. I mean, the curiosity factor alone is going to make you open the thing. So, and I know that you guys do a lot of that as well. Regarding the Connect campaign, Eric, why do you think it's so important for Inner Circle members to reconnect with their past clients by using the stealth mailers rather than address labels?
An address label definitely immediately has the appearance of a solicitation or junk mail. That's an obvious. Anytime that we've received either a request for pricing information on address labels, immediately, you know, I give you know, kind of my spiel on how that's been tested and how that, in fact, can put a be detrimental in terms of getting the best ROI, return on investment for the campaign, but using a highly personalized look and appearance definitely gives it, like I mentioned before, that personal touch. And the recipient really does, you know, in this case, the client or potential client, really does feel like they've been hand-selected, not just on the list. So, in fact, if you're, you're obviously offering a certain type of a service to product and service to your target audience, you in fact want them to feel as if you're taking that extra time and care, and really trying to present yourself in a manner that is not only professional but also, you really want the best for them versus just trying to deal with a large number of people and seeing who responds. So it just goes back to that personal touch and making the recipient feel as if they've, they're special in a sense.
Sure. And if they haven't heard from you in a while, you know, they may actually, this is another thought too, if you've been, mediocre or better in your service, and I expect everybody on this call to provide superior service, and I know they do because they're Inner Circle members and they really care about their business, and that's really a hallmark of the group of professional floor dealers that I get to work with. I love hearing how they go over the top to provide outstanding customer service. But the fact is, your past clients actually want to hear from you. They just may not remember you because you've gone so long without connecting with them, but when they need new flooring, or if they know somebody that needs flooring, they want to work with somebody and hear from somebody who provides outstanding service. So by sending the connect letter and reminding them about you, you're ensuring that they're going to you're helping them get out of their own way, so to speak, and not accidentally trash something that they would really want. So you're sort of, in a way, fooling them to help them in a way that that they would want you to, because now that you've reconnected with them, they're getting the Connect campaign, and then they go in and they know they're going to be getting the Home Advisor. Now they know to expect hear from you. Now,
definitely, and Jim, one other comment on, to that extent. You also, in a sense, when they receive one of the mail pieces, the hand addressed mail piece that you'll be sending out, and they respond, whether it be for more information or to show interest in some way, in essence, they're raising their hand. So they're saying, I'm open minded. I'm open ears to what you have to offer. Please send me more information. And that's when the connection really happens, and you can mail to them on a continual basis. In marketing in general, it's not always that first contact or that first time that you reach out to somebody where you generate a sale. It could be the third, fourth, fifth time. So you're just keeping yourself top of mind and in the game, as you put it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that the Connect campaign is so powerful with this, doing it with the stealthy approach for making that happen. Now, I've had members who try to do this all themselves, handwrite the envelopes, print it off their own, printer at work there. They got their employees in between phone calls and customers stuffing and licking and sealing envelopes and all that. Why do you recommend that they not do this, even if it saves them a few bucks?
The obvious one is, the listeners on this call are, business owners and individuals who have business management types of responsibilities and objectives that they want to accomplish. The process in terms of doing a handwritten envelope, applying a stamp, licking and sealing the stamp, sending it to the post office, that is time consuming. And I know in the preference, in many cases, the reason why we take on these responsibilities for other clientele that we work with is, in fact, they want to relinquish themselves of that extra time and effort that's necessary and utilize that towards other meaningful business-related objectives. And what we've done on this end is we really have cookie-cut the process. We have a good system in place. We're competitively priced. We have fairly quick turnaround times and a familiarity with how this can go about being accomplished in a relatively basic and simple process.
Well, yeah, and I can certainly vouch for your service. I mean, I've been using you folks for 2 or 3 years now for my stuff, and you guys do a great job. And I can tell you from my own experience that handling any portion of that process is grueling. It's frankly, it's work that is low value, and please, listeners, take this the right way. Your staff, I don't care if they're a receptionist, somebody doing your books, the salesperson, the warehouse person, virtually anything that they do for your business is going to be of higher value than stuffing envelopes, okay? Your stores are simply not set up to do it in a quick, efficient manner. That's not the business that you're in. ThinkInc is in that business, and they've got it streamlined. And there's another aspect of it that goes beyond just the dollars and cents, and that is the sheer stress and brain turmoil that goes into managing something like this. Little hinges swing big doors, you know, and I was talking to an Inner Circle member very recently who they did a lot of this themselves, and they got and he was going through the pieces, double-checking them. Some of the envelopes didn't get the letters stuffed in them. Some of the envelopes didn't get a stamp put on them. And, you know, it wasn't, the employees weren't being purposefully neglectful. They're just trying to do this thing that they're not used to doing. So the being able to just let somebody else handle it is a huge psychological weight off your shoulders. Right now, the project, I'm currently doing a project with you, Eric, and I basically emailed you a few things, and I'm going to get a box back to my office back from you, and that's all I'm going to do. So I can't tell you how good that feels. Now, you guys not only do the stealth type of mailers and the lumpy, bumpy stuff, but you can also handle the standard types of mailers, like the Home Advisor newsletter. So tell us about that.
Correct. And actually, real quick, Jim, because you touched on you know, something that I think is a standout detail that I'm sure the vast majority, all of our clientele experience is, we really try to make this relatively basic in terms of the way we've streamlined information coming to us and how we process an order and how we get the completed order back to our clientele. You know, all of really, and I know, Jim, you can relate because this is the steps that we take, but all your listeners, your members would need to do would be basically just emailing ThinkInc an Excel spreadsheet of your clients, which would be would include name, addresses, the connect letters after they've customized, dropped in their name and contact info into each. We handle on this end, ThinkInc will handle all the printing, the stuffing, the hand addressing. We'll apply the first class stamp. We will also box the completed order. These envelopes will be ready to be mailed, ready to enter the mail stream. All they would need to be do, all you would need to do on your end is just deliver them to your local post office. But we will ship to you, and then once you receive, not only will you be able to mail locally, which has advantages in itself, but also you can manage your mail if you wanted to. I'm not sure, Jim, what you encourage in terms of a mail schedule or mail distribution or mail usage, but you could, in essence, have the ability to manage your mail on your end, meaning if you wanted to mail X amount week one and X amount week two, you can go ahead and do that. And then in transitioning to the Home Advisor or more of a conventional type of mail piece, we, in fact, can go through the same steps to complete the process on this end. And those, because they're with the Home Advisor mail piece or a newsletter mail piece, there again is already an established relationship between you and your recipient, you and your client. So there's really no need to have to sneak up on them or try to get your message in their hands without you know, them putting up any block. So what with the Home Advisor mail piece, the beauty of this is, Jim, I know we're working on this currently, is you would have the ability as the sender to include a black and white picture of yourself along with a return address onto the envelope and then include your information on in the inside. This would have more of a, being that it's more of a conventional, traditional type of mail piece, less personalized cost-wise, it also would be a lesser amount. So you could send more of these, or you can send this on a more frequent basis, you know, on a continual basis without having to incur any type of, you know, minute additional fee for any type of handwriting on the envelope.
Yeah, so what we're essentially talking about doing, Eric, is having you guys handle the Connect campaign with all the hand addressing. Basically, all they've got to do is email you the after they go in and customize the Connect letter and put in their name and address and photo, email you that, email you the Excel spreadsheet of their database. Short time later, that in the mail they get a box with all the complete the things completed. It's ready to drop in the mail. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
And the reason, and just to touch on this, Jim, the reason for we do have the ability to handle the mailing step, the delivery to the post office on this end, but I know there's a strong preference to have a postmark that has a local zip code and state. So if you're mailing from, say, Michigan, your recipients would, it's more believable that you in fact, this came off your desk in Michigan if the postmark reflected a local state and zip code versus from Think Inc. Marketing. We're based in Southern California. If it was mailed locally from California, it would have a local postmark, which you know, would not necessarily would have a negative impact on the any results in terms of responses, but it's more, even more so real if it's mailed locally. So in fact, once you receive this box, all you would need to do is pull whatever mail you wanted to be entered into the mail stream and deliver it to a local post office, and it's a done deal.
Yeah. So if you're doing, and then so the first step was, you know, of course, do the Connect campaign. Let you guys handle it. Don't take on that burden. Get it out in the mail, all three steps. Then the next month you're going to start the Home Advisor. You basically, this literally makes getting the Home Advisor out, able to get it out with the business owner spending, you know, less than an hour a month on it. Your only job then as the dealer is to go in and add the little personal touches where you drop in your name, your photo, those items that are personalized for your store, email the whole thing to Think Inc. along with your client list, and a short time later you get a box ready to just deliver to the post office. So that's just, I mean, literally takes that burden out of the loop. And there's, yeah, you can physically force yourself to do this on your own, but you as a business owner, your time is worth minimum of $200 an hour. You are the rainmaker. The two most profitable things that you can do for your business, working on your business rather than in your business, two most profitable things are implementing marketing strategies and implementing business systems. And by implementing marketing, I don't mean sitting around stuffing envelopes. I mean getting the thing emailed and letting and delegating. So really good points there, Eric. You've made the process so easy. I've been using you folks for a long time. It's just brain dead simple on my end. I just email you and what I need, just like I described, like you described, and a short time later I've got a box of mailers ready to ship them out. And, you know, one other thing that stops people, I think, from doing a lot of these things is inertia. I mean, when you're sitting there facing, okay, I got 2,000 past clients and I got to get the Home Advisor out again this month, And, okay, here we go. We're going to start printing these things off and getting them stamped and sealed and all that stuff. I mean, it can be very easy to put that off, wouldn't you say so, Eric?
Oh, very much so. We try to make it as turnkey as possible on this end. And that's, from the client gathering what they need, and what they need is basically, your Excel data list and your artwork, which in this case is a customized letter. And by sending those two components to us, along, of course, with payment, we would be able to complete the process. And in terms of processing time, what we're describing would take less than 5 business days. And we would just factor in shipping time.
Yeah. So you got plenty. It's just so easy. I wouldn't be using you folks if it was difficult. But you mentioned turnkey, and that has to do with systems. And any time that you can implement systems into your business, you absolutely should. And this gives you a way to any kind of direct mail that you do. I mean, we've talked about the Connect campaign and the Home Advisor, but any type of direct mail, systemizing it so you spend a tiny little bit of time just getting it the piece finished or customized. You email it off, and it's off your plate. I mean, that's a huge peace of mind factor. So, one of the things that I recommend doing several times a year, kind of changing gears here a little bit, Eric, is that my members send the Home Advisor the newsletter as a stealth mailer a couple times a year. What are your thoughts on when communicating with past clients, even though they're used to hearing from you, doing a stealth mailer every now and then?
Jim, that's a great question. Anytime, I really try to ponder, what really has happening on the receiving end, literally with the recipients getting a mail piece, I put myself in their shoes. So in fact, I'm sure many others on this call can vouch for this as well. I get excited when I get something that's handwritten and looks like it might be from a family member or somebody I know, and in fact, it is from somebody I know. So that excitement level kind of really drives me in the envelope. So just the look of it alone is far different than any other envelope that I have in my mailbox. The great thing is your recipients, the individuals on this call who will be utilizing our services, the recipients of your mail piece will have that same reaction, that same response. Grant you, the Home Advisor information is valuable and definitely definitely would be advantageous for the recipient to review and to have close by as a information piece. But also, they'll be experiencing the same thing when they look at a hand-addressed envelope, and it in fact is coming from somebody that they know. And then once they take a look at it, then, it's, again, a highly personalized piece that looks like it came from your desk.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, ThinkInc has put together a special menu of services for Inner Circle members, and for our members, they've actually lowered their minimum order to 1,000. They're normally a 5,000 minimum, but for members of the Inner Circle Club, they'll do an order as small as 1,000. Now, we'll be getting that menu out to you shortly. If you have less than 1,000 clients in your database, well, that's a number to shoot for, getting up to 1,000, and using the referral program as outlined in the rapid launch, you can easily, even if you've only got a couple of 100 or 300 clients, you should be able to get up to 1,000 within 12 months using the referral program, because what you're doing is you're not only adding clients to your herd that you're going to be marketing to, you're adding their sphere of influence, their referrals to that, and you can easily get it up to 1,000. But anyway, so they've done that for us, which is a great deal, especially for a dealer who's just trying to build their database up. And like I said, we'll be getting that menu out to you shortly. Eric, if anyone listening to this wants to get in contact with you and ThinkInc Marketing, what's the best way for them to do that?
Easiest way would be, I can, if A couple things. Our company name, again, is Think Ink Marketing. That's T-H-I-N-K. Ink is I-N-K as an ink pen, marketing spelled out. And our website is just that, thinkinkmarketing.com. And our office line here in Southern California is area code 714-841-2041. Again, 714-841-2041. My name is Eric Garcia. I am the only Eric here at the office. I am here Pacific Standard Hours between typically 9 and 5, Monday through Friday. My email address is my name, Eric, E-R-I-C, at our company name, which again, thinkinkmarketing.com. Our website does also give a great overview of our other unique services and approaches that we currently offer to our clientele. And it does have information for our office in Washington, D.C. as well. But the majority of all of the processing of orders does, in fact, happen at our home location in Southern California. And I would be the point of contact for anybody who's interested in getting more information or has any questions or would like to place an order.
Okay, fantastic, Eric. Now, what we're going to do now is go ahead. I'm going to unmute all the participants. So anybody who's listening to this, who's if you could put your phones on mute unless you've got a question, what I want to do is open this up to Q&A. If you have any questions either for myself or for Eric, speak up. Any questions?
Yeah, Jim, this is Roy with Quality in Amarillo.
Hey.
I just got a few questions on it. On like the Shock and Awe campaign, are supposed to be sent like still.
Okay.
Okay. But my deal is on the RA, the here we go, ducks in a row letters.
Yes.
On that, would you handwrite the address? Or we got envelopes that actually have a little logo on it since we've already
Okay, you know what, are you on a speakerphone? Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes.
We're getting a lot of noise, and I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you pick up the phone and repeat the question?
All right, my question,
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
My name is Roy.
Roy, okay.
Yeah,
Roy, who are you with?
Quality Service in Amarillo.
Wonderful. Okay, so go ahead and repeat that question now.
It was on the RA campaign, you know, for after we sold them and we start the here we go.
Yes.
A letter. On that, I know it's an address, but and we've already got them. We've already got them signed. We got material coming. Do you handwrite your return address on that, or we got company envelopes that actually have our logo on it, and we handwrite their address out, their name and address. I was just wanting to know the feedback on that, if that logo's okay, because we've already got them. They know it's from us, and because, you know, we send one out a week.
Yep.
I just didn't know if the written return address or just our company logo on there would make any difference.
Well, in my opinion, once you've established the relationship, Eric, so that you know, the RA campaign is after they've sold them the material. The installation process can take, between the time they order the materials, get it installed, and wrap it. I think it can take 2 to 6 weeks, depending. So we have a series of mailers that we send to them. And in my opinion, I've done those with the company logo. You know, they're expecting to hear from us.
Okay.
So, yeah. Any thoughts on that, Eric?
I agree completely. There's it almost seems as if they'd be anticipating information from you, so it might work to your advantage having the logo. There's really no need to have to be stealthy about with the approach in this case.
Okay.
And then I think you mentioned the Shock and Awe. Now that one they haven't purchased from you yet.
No. That's usually after I give them, you know, the material and the price. And the minute they walk out the door, the Shock and Awe letter starts going.
And those are definitely stealth mailers.
Okay.
Yep. The Shock and Awe. The Shock and Awe happens, Eric, before the people have agreed to somebody that visits the store and then walks out without making a buying decision. So this is a series of four mailers that goes out. And so we definitely do those as stealth mailers.
Definitely.
So good questions there. Okay, any more questions?
Jim, George Smith.
Hey, George.
How do you do?
We had a customer come in this morning, went through the shock and awe campaign, all four letters, took home samples for the third time, brought them back, and said, wonderful letters, I really enjoyed them, found them very humorous, that's the reason I came back in your store. She says, I'm probably going to regret this and regret telling you this, but I'm going with the other guy because he was cheaper and had it on sale. And she found a similar product. And I said, well, I wish you well. I hope it works out for you. And on her way she went. And that's our first experience with that. But we do know the letters are the ones that are coming in, do bring them in, and kept us in the hunt, so to speak, right to the very end. I wished I had a little more verbiage at that time to convince her, but she received all four, and that was it. So my question is there another answer to that, and have you verbalized that so that I can train all six of these salespeople in reacting to that kind of verbiage when the customer says it comes down to just price, or is price an issue you can't overcome?
Oh, you can absolutely overcome it. And it starts with setting the environment so that they're seeing tons of testimonials throughout the process, from the brag wall to seeing your portfolio. It also has to do with using your USPs, your guarantees, and the consumer's guide, which educates them on why cheapest price is not the way to pick flooring. In fact, is the worst possible way you can make a buying decision is through price. So by utilizing these tools ahead of time, you'll find, George, that you'll short-circuit a lot of those price objections, and you'll nip them before you even hear them. But then when the price objection does come up, I've said a number of things. When they start talking price, I've said, okay, you know, you're shopping, you're looking around, what is your number one criteria? And if they tell me price, then I'll say, well, having the power to look them in the eye and say, well, we're the most expensive in town, so if your criteria is price, then we may as well not waste each other's time. So there's an attitude thing there. But then if I've also said to them, and this is assuming that you've shown them testimonials and have the consumer's guide, is have they given you testimonials from other clients?
No.
Oh, okay. They haven't, and you can virtually guarantee that they haven't given them testimonials. I'd say, okay, so you're just taking their word for it that they're going to do X, Y, and Z?
They came in three times.
Okay. Isn't that,
price was lower.
You know, do you have a prior relationship with them? I would begin asking these kinds of questions. And say, okay, so let me get this straight. You're getting ready to spend $8,000 with a company that you don't know is actually going to do what they say they're going to do, just so you can save a few bucks? Does that sound like the wisest course of action? Have they shown you their guarantees? What are their guarantees? And very, very few dealers will have that ironclad replacement guarantee. If you're not the no regrets guarantee, where if you're not happy, they'll replace it free. Very few dealers will do that. And the ones that say it won't put it in writing. And the tiny infinitesimal ones that will put it in writing, the ones that will say that they do it, you say to them, okay, do they have a no regrets guarantee? What happens if you get it in and you don't like it? Oh, yeah, I don't know if they have that. And if they say, well, yeah, they do have a no-regrets type of guarantee, say, did they give it to you in writing? And did you get testimonials from previous clients so that you know that they'll honor the guarantee? So I just hit you, George, with 15 different things you could possibly say. Obviously, you're not going to say all of that to one client. But I've overcome objections. I get pretty aggressive that way in a polite way.
I understand where you're coming from. We probably, I stood by the counter while Jennifer handled the call and the customer because she had worked with her, and she probably gave her six. The testimonials, we only have two return as we're now into the fourth week of the program this week. So we're still in the newbie stage.
Sure.
And one of them was from a large church that we just completed, so that letter will go up on the congregational board, and hopefully they're... several thousand will respond. And
one loss is a sign of failure on the program either.
The what? Say that again?
you know, the ones you're going to gain.
Say that one more. Who's speaking, and can you speak up?
Contact. You want to ask him about the picture?
Okay. Do we have a question out there?
Part two, Jim, to
okay.
My first part of the question is the customer has now left the store this morning, returned the samples, indicated that price was the issue, and Jennifer said, all right, I can lease you the book real quick, but you've got a conference call coming up this afternoon. Is there anybody out there that has a suggestion, because the customer has not purchased from the other retailer yet, in getting back in their face, so to speak, and saying, yeah, here's your last opportunity, and what would that be, as I think we've covered all the guarantees and all the other nice issues we can bring up to her.
Sure. Anybody want to chime in on that?
We're lousy losers.
Who's this?
This is George again.
Oh,
we
okay.
hate to lose any sale.
All right. Well, here's the thing to keep in mind, I think, George, is there, even with everything I've told you and everything that you can possibly do, there is a certain percentage of people who price is the most important thing, and you don't want them as clients. So I have gone through where I've shown them all the reasons why going out and choosing by price is just not the best way to go. They've read the consumer's guide. They've seen the testimonials. If they're still hell-bent on...
Let me interject this.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we did her kitchen and bathroom with tile, and she just loved it. She made a point of raving about it this morning, and that's when she made the statement, now, this is carpet, but I'm probably going to be sorry because the other company had it on sale. And that's, she says, and the big difference was their sale price to your sale price, and she says it looks to be the same product.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it may be a closed-door issue, but we intend to keep her on the mailing list and stay in contact with her.
Yeah.
Because obviously, 2 years ago, she spent a lot of money with us.
Well, I would say, okay, you're to save a few bucks, you're up front telling me you're probably going to be sorry. Man, that's a heck of a thing to be sorry about. I'd help me understand, and I'd get them talking. And then I just be, again, reiterating all the things that I just spoke about. Eric, do you have any thoughts on that? I know you're not in the flooring industry, but you have to deal with, I'm sure, people calling and saying, you know, why should we do hand addressing? You know, it's more expensive, or you know, we got another mail shop that might be doing it cheaper. I mean, what are your thoughts on handling these kinds of objections?
Just in my opinion, on the surface, Jim, just based on my gut feeling, is you're right. It sounds as if, you know, finding out, you know, how they went about making their decision would be a good initial first step. And what makes them want to go with the competitor in this case, and then rather than focusing on, you know, maybe any negative sales points or any of the reasons why they should change their mind, trying to just encourage them on why your offerings are better than anybody else's, and focusing on that versus us versus them.
Sure.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So is it too late, Jim, to come back and use that same approach in a letter form and get it out to her yet in tonight's mail, saying we're sure that we were doing everything correct for you and have in the past, as you stated. How did you arrive at your decision, just as simply as Eric just stated it? Is there anything not necessarily wrong, but that would drive them completely away or alienate them, I guess?
Well, as far as it stands now, when I get a client like that, if I tried something last ditch to send them something, or if they said something that stuck out in my mind, like in her case, the I'm probably going to regret this, I figure I've lost them. So I would send them a letter thinking, well, I can't alienate them any worse than I already have. And uh-huh. I'd sometimes, in my personal experience, when they've walked out the door and they've shut that door, if that's what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
You might consider sending them a letter saying, hey, you said you don't want to be sorry. Well, we don't want you to be sorry either. Here's just a reminder of the things that we offered so that you will have no regrets, and restating that, and maybe even following it up with a phone call from a salesperson or yourself a few days later. You might be able to turn that client.
I like that. I think that's exactly what we'll do. That sounds like just good old-fashioned business, the
there
follow-up.
There you go. Yeah. You can't make it any worse, George.
Yeah, just keep it simple. And, yeah. I like that. All right. Yeah. Well said.
Any other, we're about 5 minutes over here, so we've got time for one more question. Anybody, any questions or even a success story with the stealth mailers, anything you want to add or ask to add to the call? Going once, going twice. Okay, Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the call today. There was just a ton of good information. And I know that the members are going to really benefit from this. And be sure and get in touch with Eric for your and Thinkink Marketing for your Connect campaign and the Home Advisor and really any other direct mail piece you want to do. Eric, again, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. We look forward to continuing on with you and your coaching group in the near future.
Okay, sounds great. Everyone, thanks for being on the call, and we'll talk to everyone on the next Rapid Launch call next week. Have a great day.
Cheers.
Bye.